Well, Happy New Year, everyone. I'm Matt, and I'm super excited about this new series, Searching for Wisdom. If you're here for the first time, this is good news because you haven't missed anything yet. We're all here at the week one. I am drawing a lot of material for this series from a book. Let me see here if I can show you. A book by a pastor named Andy Stanley. It's called Ask It: The Question That Will Revolutionize How You Make Decisions. Look, I reference Andy Stanley like all the time as like a parody of myself. But one of the reasons for that is I kind of think of him as like my pastor. I'm like the one person here who really doesn't have a pastor, which I guess that's proof that I won't kill a person. But anyway, so I find people. I don't get to just kind of sit here and take it all in and listen and reflect, and so I kind of have to find other people to learn from and to listen to, and Andy Stanley is up there on that list for sure, for me at least, for this season of my life. And I found this book to be really, really helpful, especially with a new year and just some of the things that are on many of our minds. Overall, this series is about wisdom in the area of making decisions. As far as the things in life that we do have control over, which is not a lot, but as far as the things that we do have control over, it's our decisions that really shape, more than anything else, kind of where we end up. Like our decisions largely shape where we end up financially, relationally, spiritually. It can influence where we end up with our health, and on and on. Our decisions shape our life and our future, again, as far as what we have control over, arguably more than anything else. And haven't we all met people who've ended up in places, who've ended up kind of in messy situations because of decisions they've made, like financially, relationally, professionally, whatever it might be? And we sometimes look at people and we go, what were you thinking? How did you not know that was going to happen? What did you think was going to happen? Why are you surprised? Because we can kind of see, stepping back, that like A was leading to B all along and they just didn't see it. You know people like this? Now, yes, before we kind of get too far ahead of ourselves, and we're all thinking of like that person who we wish were here for this right now, before we move too quickly, it's actually true of us as well, isn't it? That we've all been in places, and we have areas where we wish we would have made a different decision. We have areas of regret, and we realize, boy, if I'd just done that differently, it would have led to a better place for me. And so, you know, it would be nice if we could live our whole lives and then go back and relive with everything we learned the hard way and, you know, make better, more wise decisions the second time around, but we don't have that luxury, do we? And the truth is, for many of us, whatever stage of life you're in, whether you're a freshman in high school or you're a first-time grandparent, it's like new territory for us. And we haven't been there before, and so we're uncertain on how to navigate the issues and the opportunities and the invitations and the crossroads that that particular moment brings for us. And so I just bring that up to say, I don't know about you, but I could use some more wisdom in my own life when it comes to making decisions. Now, I'm actually saving the kind of the foundational, like the anchor message for this whole series. I want to save that for next week. And so the reason for that, I want to make sure everyone's back, and particularly students are back for this, so that we're all on the same page, that we all have like the same kind of big foundation for where we're going and what we're going to build on in the weeks ahead. And so before we get to that next week, this week I want to kind of narrow the focus. It's still in the realm of wisdom in our decision making, but I want to focus specifically on making wise decisions with our time, being wise with our time. I think we're all aware it's a brand new year. I don't know how many of you, I don't really do this for whatever reason. I don't really make a lot of New Year's like resolutions. But I do love the feeling of like the fresh start. Doesn't it feel like a fresh start for a lot of us like this time of year? I get a little bit more reflective right about now than I do any other time of year, just on my life and where it's been and where it's going and what's going on. I kind of just take it all in and spend some time reflecting. And it's a little bit hard not to, because you look back and you realize, man, where did that last year, where did it go? Didn't it feel like a second for like most of us? It went so quick. Liz and I, my wife Liz, we sit down We try to do this every year around New Year's, usually just before, and we just kind of take a little bit of time to reflect on the previous year and just memories and things, especially now that we have kids. They're 5 and 7, and it goes so quick, and we try to just to make some notes and write things down. They're always doing things. You know who have kids, you know this. They're always saying things that are hilarious, you know, in the moment. Or there are these, like, milestone moments, and when they happen, you think, I will never forget this happened. And, of course, we always forget, and so we try to write some things down. Just yesterday, Claire, our 5-year-old, was in the kitchen, and she really wanted to mop. And so Liz let her mop, you know, okay, go for it. And she's mopping, and she says, she's 5 years old, and she stops, and she says, Mommy, does this say that I love you? And I was like, she's been reading that 5 Love Languages book, obviously. But anyway, I think I'll never forget that. And then a week from now, I'll have forgotten that completely. So we write these things down. We reflect. This Christmas, I surprised Liz and the kids. I made this 20-minute home movie of, like, video clips and pictures and everything from the time the kids were, like, babies until present. So it was 20 minutes, like the life of our children. And you guys would be bored to death, but we're like the stars of it, so it was interesting to all of us. Anyway, but just sitting there watching that for those 20 minutes with my family, it was like the years have gone so unbelievably fast. And with each New Year's, we're reminded that we are getting older. When you go online, for example, and you have to fill out your year of birth, you know those drop-down boxes? I'm having to scroll down, you know, a little more than I used to. Like, it used to be right there in, like, the opening frame, and now I got to go all the way down, you know, 1980. I know some of you guys are like, oh, I got a little tiny violin for you right about now. Boo-hoo. It depends on where you're at. See, the hourglass of our lives, it's been turned over. The hour, week, month, year, decade glass. It's running, isn't it? The clock is running for all of us. Pink Floyd, you knew I was going there, didn't you? Has a song called Time, and it's actually all about this, on just the kind of the elusive, unstoppable nature of time. It's a little melancholy, a big surprise, but anyway, there's a line in there where they say, every year is getting shorter, never seem to find the time, plans that either come to naught are half a page of scribbled lines. Hanging on in quiet desperation is the English way. The time is gone, the song is over, thought I'd something more to say. So there's your Pink Floyd for the day. Your time equals your life. It's possible to run out of money and still have, like, more time left. It's possible to run out of friends and still have, like, some life left to spare. Once you run out of time, though, it's over. If there's one resource, if there's one commodity that we need to, like, figure out how to use wisely, it's our time. Because you can actually figure out most of the time how to make more money, and you can probably find some more friends. But the amount of time you get and that I get is inflexible. You only get so much of it. Job in the Old Testament put it this way. He said, a person's days are determined. You, and he's talking about God, have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. Those last 4 words, they're limits he cannot exceed. We don't like that, do we? And that's almost un-American, frankly. Now, you may not believe, like Job, that God has set your number of months, that he's determined ahead of time how much time you'll have, and that's okay. Because one thing that we all know for sure is this: your time is running out. You can actually overdo pretty much everything. You can overspend, you can overeat, you can overachieve if you want to. But one thing that you can't do is you can't overlive. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And so the psalmist here connects our having wisdom, which is something that we would probably all say that we want. He connects that to our ability, our awareness, our ability to number our days. And that's kind of an ancient Hebrew phrase, number our days, which simply means, God, help me to keep in mind that I have a limited amount of time on this earth. Just help me to keep that into perspective. And apparently just doing that, just keeping that in mind, is a step toward possessing wisdom. Recognizing our time on earth is limited. That should cause all of us to think differently about our time, about our lives, and what we do with the time we have here. We stop, and often again at the beginning of a new year, And we look back and we wonder, where did all the time go? You know where it went? Away. It went away. It's gone. And there's no way to recover even a minute of it. You can't store it up. You can't save time for later. It just goes away. And we look back and we wonder where it went, because it seems like yesterday, you know, I was 16, and where did my 20s go? And no matter what season, no matter what stage of life you're in, we look back and we ask, where did that time go? Where did it go? We're actually, when we ask the question, where did the time go? We're actually asking a slightly more troubling question, but we don't like this one. We're actually asking, where did my life go? Where'd my life go? You've lived long enough to know that time is life. And you're all smart enough to come up with a list of wise and unwise things to do with the limited amount of time that you have. You could all sit down and evaluate your commitments and make necessary adjustments. But I want to dig a little deeper into one aspect of time that often escapes us. Because this is something that eventually everybody here, we all figure out. It's just that sometimes we figure it out too late. And this is one of those life lessons about time that no matter when it is that we learn this, we all wish we had learned it just a little bit earlier. And so I want to give you four observations about time, and they're taken from the book that I mentioned up front. And these aren't anything new. Nobody here is going to go, that is the most brilliant thing I've ever heard in my life. But maybe this will help you think about your time just in a slightly different way. So four quick observations that underscore the importance of using our time wisely. Hopefully when you came in on your seat, you found a half sheet outline, and feel free to pull that out and you can use that to follow along, or if you want to take notes along the way here. I hope that's helpful. Again, if this is really helpful for you, just know these aren't my ideas. And if you hate this, these aren't my ideas. So don't shoot the messenger is what I'm saying. I think the interesting thing about this is you don't have to be a Christian or a church person or whatever to believe this, what we're going to get into. I think this is something that applies to pretty much all people everywhere. Anyone can benefit from this if you want to. But if you are a Jesus follower, if you do believe that God like has something to do with our lives, as Christians, we believe that time is a stewardship issue. That everything that we have comes from God and that we're to manage it as well as we can. And one of the things that you've been given to manage is your time, which is your life. Here we go, four observations. Number one, investing small amounts of time over time is cumulative. Investing small amounts of time over time is cumulative. What that means is it adds up. It adds up to something greater than any of its individual parts. Exercise is a pretty obvious illustration of this. Exercising, 20, 30 minutes a day, three times a week, over a long period of time, it has a cumulative effect, right? At the end of the year, for example, of a year of that, you can see a difference, you can feel a difference. At the end of your first workout, however, the only noticeable difference is what? You're really sore and you wish you hadn't done that. You see, in other words, almost no measurable result from like working out one time. In fact, it's kind of bigger than that. No matter how long you've been exercising, no one instance, no one session, installment, workout really does any major noticeable thing. That's why it's so easy to talk yourself out of it, right? What will it hurt if I miss one day? And you know what the answer is? Nothing. Physically speaking, it won't. One day won't hurt anything. But the real value of something, again, like exercise, is not in any one-time workout or one-time installment of that. It's what happens as a result of a long sequence all together, month after month or year after year, taken together, that of all these small amounts of time invested, that's what makes the difference. That's what creates the compounding effect. Now, the same thing is true whether you're working on your golf swing or you're trying to learn to play an instrument or you want to become a better writer. One session, one practice time, 1 hour spent, one lesson doesn't do very much. But a little bit of concentrated effort, right, several days a week, over a period of, say, 6 months, that actually adds up over time and can create a pretty drastic improvement in your performance, in your ability. Everyone with me so far? This is basic. Now, here's the thing. What's obviously true for us, and we would say that's true in the realm of fitness or learning an instrument or some other skill, it's not so obvious to us in other areas. But this is also true in pretty much every area of life, especially when it comes to really important things like our relationships or our spiritual growth. And let me give you a few specific practices where consistency over time makes a difference. Dinner with your family, time alone with God, reading scripture, time in prayer, showing up for church, for worship, having a regular date night with your spouse, a one-on-one time with your kids, being a part of a small group. You take any one of these things, and there is no measurable gain, okay, if all you're looking at, if all you're keeping score by is like the one-time chunk of time, the one installment of whatever it is, there's no measurable gain at all. I mean, what do you really have to show from having dinner with your family on a Tuesday night? Not much, right? I mean, maybe once in a while there's like a significant conversation, there's like a teaching moment or whatever, but most of the time you're talking about nothing, right? Just small things, your day. I mean, what's the benefit from one time around the table with your family? None, not much. What's the takeaway? Here's another category. What's the takeaway from one night that you spend gathering with your small group and you're studying scripture and you're talking about how to apply it and you're sharing your life? I mean, once in a while, someone might share an insight that's, you know, really helpful to you and you were really glad you were there for that. But for the most part, the world kind of goes on if you don't show up for that night. Liz and I, we've been in small groups for several years, and I really can't think of a single night or a single particular discussion that will like change my life. It's over time, these routines, these small incremental investments of time. What ends up happening is they actually have far more cumulative value than we think they do in the moment. And so it's these constant deposits of time that make the difference. I think this is where we get tripped up, don't we? I think we underestimate the way things add up over time. And again, maybe the easiest category here is just the area of our health. You can neglect your health for like a day, and there aren't really any major consequences. You probably do it for a week or maybe longer or whatever, and there aren't a lot of negative effects. In fact, if you just went a whole week, and the whole week it was just nothing but fast food and double desserts, right, and no exercise and a few too many beers and a few too many late nights out, and if you were just to evaluate that week and the effects of your life, just looking at that week, you'd probably come to the wrong conclusion about the effects, right? Namely, this is awesome. And why didn't I adopt this lifestyle sooner, right? Because other than maybe some indigestion or trouble getting up in the morning, it didn't really seem to matter that much. It didn't seem to make that much of a negative impact. What's there to worry about? But the effects of small amounts of time is cumulative, which means you don't see the benefits after one time, and you don't see the consequences of neglect after one instance of neglect. This is why it's so easy for us to talk ourselves out of what we know is important. It's why New Year's resolutions, frankly, often fail. We say to ourselves, what's the big deal? I mean, missing one isn't going to matter. And you know what? You're 100% right. It doesn't matter. One doesn't hurt anything. And giving it one deposit of time, one installment of time, that doesn't actually help anything substantially either. I mean, if you work out one time or you eat healthy for one meal, notice how nobody comes up to you and says, man, what's different about you? Does that ever happen? No. The same dynamic plays itself out in every area of life. If you miss dinner with your family one time, no big deal. If you sleep in one Sunday morning, guess what? Nothing changes. If you skip work on Friday, you're probably still going to have a job on Monday. If you decide instead of reading scripture in the morning, you're going to, you know, start in on email right away or whatever, life goes on just fine. And so it's deceiving, but true, that we rarely see immediate consequences when we neglect what's important, the small things in any area of life. But here's the thing. If that neglect becomes your pattern, if it becomes your way of life, eventually, sooner than later, you're going to run into the second principle, which is this. Number two, neglect has a cumulative effect. You can neglect your health for a week or a month or maybe longer, no big deal. But you keep repeating that lifestyle for another 10 or 12 years, and suddenly, although it's not so sudden, you may find yourself facing damage that's irreversible. not because of a single night out, not because of one particular meal. The effect over time is cumulative. I say that, I've had like 3 Mountain Dews already this morning, so I'm with you in this. Neglect has a cumulative effect, not just physically, but relationally, financially, emotionally, spiritually, pretty much every area of our life. And it's costly, isn't it? We'll see that in just a minute. Neglect, in the moment, you know why we choose it? Because it's easy. It's always easier. The problem is the cost that comes down the road from that is often greater than we thought it would be. Okay, so far so good, right? You're all like, I got this. I'm with you. I told you, you already know this. This next one, and maybe you've never thought about it quite like this, but I guarantee you we've all been here, we've all experienced this. While it's true that small investments of time over time add up to good things, and it's also true that small instances of neglect over time build up and they add up to really bad things. Let's say it this way. The random things that we pursue, the random things that interrupt the small good things that we want to do, the random things that kind of push those out, they actually add up to nothing. Number 3, random has no cumulative value. The random things we opt for over the important things have no, they don't add up to anything. There's no cumulative value there. Let's just say, just keeping with the same kind of theme here, let's say that your New Year's resolution last year, so January of 2014, was to exercise 3 times a week. And let's just say that life kind of got busy and you started well but didn't finish well. But you got the treadmill and you got the membership and you made the big announcement that this is going to be the year to all your friends and family, you know, this is it. Let's just imagine, hypothetically speaking, that it hasn't worked out. Other things kept interfering with your routine, with your plans. Okay, are you guys with me? You're looking at me like you have no idea what I'm talking about, and I know that you do. It doesn't take a lot of imagination. But let's say that you wanted to add up all the other things that you did instead of following through with that commitment. Like you just kind of wanted to see what do you have to show for, you didn't do the exercise thing, so what do you have to show for that time that you obviously spent in another way? And this is where we work against ourselves and we don't even realize it. If a friend were to ask you, okay, what did you do with that time all last year instead of exercising? You would, first of all, you wouldn't be able to think of anything. But let's say they pushed you. No, like really, what did you do with that time? You're supposed to go at this time and you didn't do it. What'd you do? And you'd have to start to think about it and you'd say, okay, well, there were some mornings, I guess, where I slept in. Okay. Well, how many mornings did you do that? I have no idea. A bunch. Okay, what else did you do? There were some mornings where I just kind of got up and like piddled around the house and read the paper and just had a slow start. Okay. Did you do anything else with that time the whole year? I went to work early a couple times. Oh, great. You did. What'd you do when you got to work? Like, what do you have to show for it? I got on the internet earlier than I usually do. I don't know. We can't remember what we did. And here's the point. If in this hand you were to put, you know, 30 minutes a day, 3 times a week of exercising year after year after year, and in this hand you were to put all the things you did instead, all the things that kind of interrupted you and kind of distracted you, the random things that kind of took you away from that commitment or whatever the commitment was, an instrument, another thing, this right here adds up to nothing. Isn't that interesting? And we've somehow failed to see that in the moment, that random has no cumulative value. A bunch of random things added up together equal 0. What's the cumulative value of all the things, kind of the random things that a college student does instead of studying? Nothing. It equals 0. What's the cumulative value of all the things a parent might choose to do instead of being at home for dinner with their family? 0. What's the cumulative value of the things that you might do instead of following through with your commitment to read scripture, to begin your day in prayer? 0. See, these random activities, and the problem is they always seem urgent. They interfere with our commitments and our desire to do strategic things with small amounts of time, and it's like throwing away our most precious commodity. It's actually worse than wasting our time because we're wasting our lives. And our time gets gobbled up with random, unquantifiable activities that rob us of what's most important. And here's the sobering truth. We can't go back. We can't go back and relive. We can't go back and try to relove or reprioritize or rearrange or refocus or any of these things. I mean, looking back, there are times we want to go back, but we can't. You can't relive your teens. You can't relive your 20s, your 30s. You can't rewind your marriage. You can't raise your kids again. Is anyone depressed yet? Yeah. And here's the final statement when it comes to using our time wisely. Number four. In the areas that matter most, you cannot make up for misspent time. You can't make it up. Let me say this a little bit differently. You'll get this. In the areas that matter most, you can't pull an all-nighter. Like when you were a student, you could do that, and you kind of make up, you know, in a frenzy of activity for what you should have been doing all week long. Or if you're late somewhere, you can drive a little faster and maybe make up for the fact that you didn't leave on time. Or maybe you have a presentation at work or a project due and you procrastinate it, and then, you know, you have this kind of rally the day before, the few days before, and you stay up late and Red Bull and whatever, and you get it done, and maybe everybody thinks you're a genius. Maybe it goes great and everybody pats you on the back and you think, I should do this more often, and you do. But in the world of relationships, there are no all-nighters. You cannot cram for a better relationship, relationship with your spouse, with your kids. Speeding up does not make up for lost time in your relationship with God. Cramming just generally doesn't work relationally. It doesn't work financially. It doesn't work with spiritual maturity. You can't rush or cram for these things. They take time. And so it's in the important areas of life. They require small deposits of time all along the way. And unfortunately, if you miss those opportunities, they're lost forever. And that's just the way the world works. In other words, just to give a couple of examples, it does no good, parents here, to like rush home today and say to your family, look, I realize I haven't been present and, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I've missed. And so what we're going to do is get in the car and we're all going to go basically to all of our favorite restaurants. And we're going to go till midnight. We're going to catch up. We're going to eat and eat and eat and talk and talk and talk. And we're going to make up for all that lost time. I would argue that would have an adverse effect, the opposite effect of what you want to happen. A nice weekend getaway with your spouse doesn't make up for weeks or months where you haven't been present and available. Relationships are built on small, consistent deposits of time, and you can't cram for what's important. If you want to connect with your kids, you have to be available consistently, not randomly. In the areas that matter most, a burst of energy, a sudden flurry of activity, it cannot reverse oftentimes the consequences that accompany a season of neglect. And so, what do you think God, if this is the way the world works, what do you think God might want to say to you and me about this today, about our time? With these four statements kind of as a backdrop, I want you to see what Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 16. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now that phrase, making the most of every opportunity, it's sometimes translated making the most of your time. It literally says in Greek, redeeming the time. And in Greek, the idea of redeeming the time, that's actually an accounting term. Paul is saying, I want you to make sure you get full value out of your time. I want you to squeeze like every ounce of good out of the time that you have. Every moment. Make the most of it. Don't be unwise. Be wise. And then, did you catch the reason that Paul gives for making the most, for redeeming our time? He says, because the days are evil. And I have a feeling that Paul had something specific that he was addressing with the churches that were getting the letter to the Ephesians and, you know, a specific thing in mind. But this applies to all of us, to the days that we live in. Here's what we know. If I spend my time the way that culture would have me do that, if I spend my time the way my appetites would sort of drive me to spend my time, I'll not only not redeem my time, I'll waste my time. Because your appetites aren't going to help you, and for the most part, culture isn't very helpful here because culture tries to focus you and tries to focus me on now, not later. Like now, and what's one time, and that's not going to hurt anything. And while that's true, for many of us, it leads to destructive habits. We end up looking back and wondering how we wasted not just so much of our time, but our lives. And Paul says, come on, be careful. Live not as unwise, but as wise. Unwise is like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'll just make up for it later. It's not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Because if you're not intentional, if you're accidental, if you're haphazard in this, you'll look back on this stage of life that you're in right now, or the one you're just getting ready to move into, whether you're a freshman in high school or a college student or your first job or engaged or married or kids or grandkids or whatever your stage of life is. You look back on this stage and you think, how could I have been so foolish to have wasted that much time? Paul says, be careful, because if you're not, you'll be drawn into a lifestyle where your time is frivolously consumed rather than invested strategically. You'll be busy. We don't have any problem with that. You may even be productive. But in doing that, if you're not careful, you could miss opportunities that you can't get back to make incremental deposits of time in the things that matter most. If you're not careful, your time will get fragmented by 1,000 other things that seem urgent. Opportunities, events will present themselves and seem important, but when you string them all together, they add up to nothing. They have no cumulative value. But here's what he's saying. If you're willing to harness the time that you have, if you're willing to invest that strategically, things can be different. You'll be healthier, not only physically, but relationally, spiritually, probably professionally, financially even. You'll look back on this season of your life, looking back on it, with fewer, if any, regrets. Again, not because of any single day, not because of any single burst of activity, but because of a single decision to get the most out of your time by investing small amounts in the things that matter most. And so here's the question for all of us. What areas do you need to begin making those investments of time? Not huge blocks of time, but small investments. At the bottom of your notes, there are four areas I want us to think about applying this. There are the words physically, relationally, professionally, spiritually. And I'd like to ask that beside each of those words, maybe take a moment and to write one word, one thing that you can begin doing that if you did it consistently, over time would actually have a positive effect on that area of your life. What can you begin doing that will have cumulative value? Here's maybe another way to ask the same question. What do you wish you would have done for the past 12 months, physically, relationally, professionally, spiritually? What are those things that had you done them for the past 12 months, you'd be actually in a better place today than you are now? And so spend a moment. If you need more time, I think it's worth taking time later today in the next day or two, because this will give you a starting point for how to use your time wisely beginning now. For some of us, it's what needs to be added in one of these areas to our schedule. Others, it's something that maybe needs to be canceled, dropped. And for many of us, the things that we need to cut out aren't bad things. They're just things that don't add up to very much and that kind of distract us from making those consistent investments in the most important things. If Job was right, if the days that we have really are numbered, if we can't exceed our limit, there are limits that we can't get past, then I think the issue of how we spend our time couldn't be more important, because your time is actually your life. Therefore, be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. You know how much effort unwise takes? Zero. It takes zero intentionality. But there's a high price to pay, and it's often higher than we expect. Live not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time. And if you do, in this next season of your life, if you make the most of your time in this next stage of your life, then chances are you'll look back on that stage, on that season, and you'll be glad that you did that. But that decision is up to you. It's up to me. I want to invite the band to come forward. We're going to continue here our worship by receiving the offering in just a moment. I want to say one more thing about that as the band's coming up, and then we'll have a closing song. I wanted to give, and this kind of ties in here, you'll see. I did want to give an update from 2014, a financial update. We not only met, but exceeded our budgeted income by $8,000 or $9,000, roughly. So let's put our hands together. That is awesome. I think, obviously, that's a testament to God's faithfulness and to his provision. And it's also, it says a lot about your generosity and your faithfulness. And so thank you to all of you. I want to just do a real quick tie-in as we're leading into offering here. I think all of us, we want to be generous people, and obviously many of you are. But we all kind of aspire to be generous, maybe even more generous than we are. I think this same principle applies to our generosity and to our giving, whether you're giving here or to any other charity. Let me say it this way. For those of you who, looking back on 2014, would say, yeah, I kind of gave what I wanted to give. Like, I look at my finances, and I was able to be about as generous as I planned on being, as I wanted to be, and we could always improve, and, you know, hopefully we can do more this next year. But I'm just saying this. If you look back and you have a general sense of, like, yeah, I kind of hit the target for this past year, I kind of have a sense of peace about what I did with my financial resources, I would bet you, the vast majority of you, that for you, that happened because you weren't random with that area of your life. That you were actually pretty intentional, and it wasn't, for most of us, a sudden flurry of activity. It was like kind of steady plodding throughout the year. And so it was systematic, and it was intentional, and it was incremental all along the way. And the converse is true. For those of us who look back and go, I meant to do more than that. I wanted to do better than that. You know, hopefully in the future I can. Probably for you, your giving, I'm just guessing, was a little bit random and a little bit, you know, kind of an afterthought. And so just in light of all of this, and at the beginning of a new year, and there's no crisis or nothing, you know, everything's great, I just want to say for your sake, for my sake, let's be intentional about that as well. Let's think about where we want to end up, like, a year from now, and just put the things in place so that we can take those steps and we can make that happen. Would you stand with me? We'll pray. And then we'll receive our offering and have a closing song here. Heavenly Father, first of all, I just want to say thank you for the way that you're working in our church body. Lord, for the way that you provide for us, you meet all of our needs, and then some financially. Lord, help us as a church body to steward those resources as well as we possibly can. We ask for wisdom in that. We ask for just direction as we invest these resources and as we impact our community and in other ways of the world. We want to be faithful, and we want to be honoring to you in that. Lord, help all of us today, Lord, as we think about this message and these scriptures, and we think more importantly about our time and what this all means for us. Lord, help us as we go from here to think about what's most important. Think about the people. We see faces in many of our minds right now of the people, the things that we really want to invest strategically. Lord, help us not to buy into kind of the lie of culture that we just kind of go with whatever right now and not give any thought to the future. Help us to have the discipline and the maturity to do today what needs to be done so that we can experience your life and your blessing going forward. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.